creative team. Fantastic. Hey, and this morning, why don't we just honour our beloved pastor, Pastor Andrews, as he comes and brings the word this morning.
Hey, give the creative team another hand as they take a seat. It's amazing worship. Phenomenal. Everyone say phenomenal. Do you have a great sense of God, a great sense of the Holy Spirit in this place, I tell you. You know, over the last probably month or so, I've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And I keep getting told by people in the church about people getting visions, people getting real experiences from the Holy Spirit, which is great. And I actually do think that's linked to people just increasing the time that they spend in praying in their prayer language, the Holy Spirit prayer language that we've been given. So I encourage you, I'm not talking on that topic today, but I encourage you to keep doing that. Don't lose it. Don't just think, oh, well, that was just for now. But I just keep hearing stories of people having these amazing encounters with God and things going on in their lives. And I tell you what, it's not a coincidence. Remember the Apostle Paul? He said, I speak in tongues. I speak in my spiritual prayer language more than you all. He bragged. It was his little angle. And the guy was filled with revelation. Amen? That was good worship. That was really good worship. Seriously. Such a good worship team, haven't we? And this week we've had some good things. The opening for our Bay City Women's Support Center was very exciting to see that, to see all the agencies. Like Janine, we were talking to a lot of these people, that community groups. And you could almost, I think one of them asked how we're funded. I think they asked Mona. And really she said basically the church. You could all heard her, oh. They were like, what? How? Out of the heart of you guys comes something significant that's reaching the community. So I just want to encourage you guys on what you're doing. Because you are the church. Who's part of Bay City? Raise your hand. We're it. That's us. And it's exciting. And, you know, and after that, I was talking to a couple of the agencies and they were just like, what? How? How does that happen? And then later, Janine might have mentioned on the Friday, we went down to Narrabeen to see an opening of one of our food cares. And they had an ad in the Manly Daily, and today, tonight, picked up on it. And I think Brian Seymour, whoever, he came down and they filmed it. And even, there was a little moment we were talking, and he said something like, you know, how is this all funded? And I said, you know, this is the church. This is how the church works. Volunteers, it's our heart. And he goes, awesome. He goes, there needs to be a whole lot more of them. And I said, yeah, well, that's our plan. So anyway, it'll be on somewhere on the TV, I'm not quite sure, but it's more about the Narrabeen startup, which is very exciting, isn't it? And I think they had, they had 61 people come through on their first day. And really, there was, you know, not a great deal of advertising. Day to night hasn't shown anything yet. Well done. It's spreading out across this city. So give yourselves a hand, Bay City. You guys are awesome. This morning, I want to talk on a topic that is, yeah, something that I love to talk on at least once a year because I think it's so crucial, and that is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Just turn to your neighbor and say, I forgive you. Just before we get going, let's make sure we're square with the person next to us. Then you can sit back and relax and think, you know, I'm okay. Luke 23:26. Luke, the 23rd chapter. That's how the Americans say it. Verse 26. Turn there with me, you all. Luke. And as they led him away, they laid hold on one Simon, a Syrian, coming out of the country, and they laid the cross on him that he might carry it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people were following him, and of women who also were bewailing and lamenting him. But turning to them, Jesus said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that did did not suckle. And they said again, to say to the mountains, fall on us, to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, they shall be done in the dry. And two others, two criminals, were led with him to be put in, to be put to death. When they came to the place which they call Calvary, they crucified him. And the criminals there, one on the right, one on the left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Parting his clothes, they cast lots, and the people stood watching, and also the rulers with them scoffing, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen one. Coming near the soldiers, they mocked him and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And the inscription also was written over him in letters in Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. One of the very, very last things, in fact, very last things before Christ's death, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, when it comes to the life of Christ, his death on the cross, we see it as such an important factor for us in our relationship and our intimacy with God and giving us righteousness through him. But for our life here on earth, one of the greatest things that we can take and we need to live our lives under is forgiveness. Every human life needs forgiveness. In Christ, his parting words, what he says to us, people might have said, well, you know, it's just he felt he had to say it. I believe it was crafted for us. His last words to us, what he spoke over our lives was, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive all of us for what we've done. Because I tell you what, you cannot live a whole life without forgiveness. You can't live the life that God wants you to live without living under forgiveness, without understanding forgiveness. You know, there's a universal longing inside of every single human being, everyone that has a soul on this planet. There's a yearning to be forgiven. There's a yearning. Every single one of us needs forgiveness. It's something that we can't live without, and there are plenty of people that are living without it. And today I'm going to talk about some of the consequences of doing that, of living without forgiveness, living in a world where you don't understand it. And I, you know, even science has proven there are multitudes of illnesses that are connected to unforgiveness, where people have lived with it. Christ knows that. He says to us, the living, we know we've got relationship, we've got so much through his death, but he says to all of us, forgive, you're forgiven. In fact, his death on the cross is the greatest example of our forgiveness. Really, it enables us to understand that we are forgiven, we are to live that way. And you know, the craziest thing is whenever I talk to someone who's secular and doesn't come to church and I invite them to come to church, or honestly, about 90% of the time, a comment will come out like, oh, you don't want me in your church. You know, the roof would fall down on me if I wandered into your church, or I can't go there, that's where God is. Me and God, we can't be in the same place. Because inside of most people, they're walking around with so much guilt, so much attached to their lives, so many things. All you've got to do is live life long enough to do a few things wrong and hurt a few people and have a lot of regret. Amen? And I bark back at those people and go, don't be silly. You know, this place is filled with... But, you know, some of them, one guy I went a little bit more serious with, when he told me that, and I said, well, what do you mean by that? You're not serious. And he kind of went serious and said, oh, yeah. He said, church is for good people. I said, wow, come on. I mean, Carl, we've got Trent, who comes up on stage in his socks. What is that? I thought maybe he's going to do some sort of, you know, moonwalk with his socks on. No. Who loves Trent? Passionate man. I love Trent. Matthew chapter 6 verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 14, for if you forgive them that their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You still with me? So isn't this passage that God has forgiven us? And Jesus says to forgive others. We shouldn't hold unforgiveness. We are obligated to forgive each other. And we need to understand that unforgiveness has caused so much. There is so much separation, heartache, sickness. Oh my goodness, there's murder, there's split marriages, there's best friends that haven't spoken to each other, there's wars, there's countries that hate each other, there's nations, there's families. I mean, the amount of times you talk to someone and they say, you know, it comes around Christmas time and they go, oh, our family doesn't get together anymore. We haven't got together for years. Why? Well, Uncle so-and-so and Auntie so-and-so had a go 10 years ago and the whole family's been split ever since. Terrible. Families being split simply because of unforgiveness. Best friends. Marriages. It's an area that we need to walk in, remind ourselves of, and get a hold of God for all the time. How many people here in this room have been offended? How many people have been offended in the last week? It doesn't take much, does it? It doesn't take much to be offended. Three areas of forgiveness that we need to understand and operate in. The first one is the forgiveness of God, and it's the utmost importance for us as believers. And sadly, a lot of the world doesn't understand the power of living under the forgiveness of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not have perished but have life, life everlasting. Amen? John 15:13, no one has greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We know that Christ has given us forgiveness. We know that the symbol of forgiveness is Christ on the cross. We know that we live under that. It's an example. It's Christ's last words on the cross. We know that whenever we see the cross, we have forgiveness over our lives. No matter what, where your mind goes, no matter where your heart goes, no matter where your emotions go based on something that you've done, no matter where guilt tries to take you, as a believer, you should see the picture of the cross and Christ on that cross, and you should see that as an example of forgiveness. As much as you see a rainbow, the Bible, you see a rainbow talks about not flooding the whole earth, which has been a timely reminder over the last weeks. You should see the cross and realize that you have forgiveness. If no one else will forgive you, if that person you've done something to won't forgive you, Christ will. Whenever you see that cross, realize that is a symbol of forgiveness. That is a symbol of someone, and let's be honest, someone who's incredibly important has forgiven you. And the saddest thing is that is so much the essence of the gospel. And there's so many people out there in this world that are living not knowing that there is a God that has forgiven them. So sad. So many people have no idea. And you could live under the power of that. A guy called Bryant McGill said, Bryant McGill. Write that one down. There is no love without forgiveness, and there is no forgiveness without love. Amen? When we see the symbol of the cross, we see forgiveness, we see a God that loves us. Psalms 130 verse 4 says, but there is forgiveness with you, talking about God, that you may be feared. This passage is talking about, it's talking about forgiveness is God's grace discovered. I've been in a situation, mainly when I was in the New Christians pastor somewhere in my past, where I would see someone affected by the forgiveness of God. When someone got saved and they got a real revelation of God's forgiveness, you would just, I believe that was one of the biggest changes I would see in someone. That's where their countenance would change. When that's when their life would seem like it's got hope again. Because guilt is such a horrible thing. Guilt's not something that you can just put aside. It's something that torments you. Amen? When someone's living in torment, it means that whenever they put their head on the bed, when they're in a quiet place, when they're ever they're by themselves, it comes back and the thoughts come back and the regret comes back and it torments them. But to be able to pinpoint that Christ has forgiven you, you can stand against that guilt and that torment. Amen? You can bring a light into that darkness that a lot of people live with every single day. See, Jesus giving his life on the cross was putting himself into a capacity to pardon our sin. And he declared himself righteous and merciful and gave us forgiveness. He put himself in a capacity. When he put himself on the cross, he put himself in a capacity to forgive us. No other man, no other thing on this earth can give us the forgiveness that he's given us. When he put himself on that cross, because he did. When he put himself there, when he allowed himself to be nailed, he put himself in a capacity. When he died, that's why his last words, he said, forgive them. He had every right to. He had every right to push out that forgiveness to all of us because he put himself in that place. No one else did. And we are able, for a lot of people that don't know Christ, they have never accepted the wave of that forgiveness. When you get it, when you accept it, when it comes into your life, it's like a wave that hits you. Man, I've been forgiven by the living God. Amazing opportunity for us as believers. Amen? Today, more than anything, the forgiveness of God, if you're in this room, well, and you're a believer, I want to remind you of it, that it is over your life. Your life is flowing with forgiveness. You've got a Savior that looks at you with eyes of forgiveness, not condemnation. He looks at you with forgiven eyes. Even when someone looks at you, and have you ever asked someone for forgiveness and they've given it to you? You ever done that? I've asked someone for forgiveness and they haven't. And those eyes are very different. You kind of walk away, the cold and the condemning, and you're like, awkward moment, okay. You know, I literally did ask someone, they said to me, I can't right now. Oh, just let me know when you can. What else can you say? Okay, well, will you call me or will I call you? You're like, what, a week? 7 days? A year? I'll put you on my speed dial. I'll call you in 2 weeks. They just said, no, I can't right now. I said, okay. Wow, is that the time? But you know when you're sort of opposite someone and you say, you know, I'm really, really sorry. And they look back at you and they go, yeah, I forgive you. That's okay. Oh, it's refreshing, isn't it? Amen? Well, that's the Christ you have. You know, whenever you've done, you stand before him with something wrong and you've done something, you're blowing it again. You said you wouldn't. You know, you wouldn't go back to that sin. You wouldn't go back to that thing. You know, you were over it. You've blown it about 5 times, 6 times, 500 times. And this time you were going to, but you didn't. You fell back into that and you're standing before God and you go, you look at those eyes and they're eyes of forgiveness. Refreshes your soul. Gives you ability just to keep moving, keep going. So don't rip yourself off from being forgiven from God. It's massive. And I actually think there's a lot of sickness in this world, emotionally, physically, because people are living without the forgiveness of their God. Whether everyone believes it or not, we were created by God. And we need to live understanding and knowing the forgiveness of God. And when we do have that in our hearts, it just gives you so much life. It gives you so much ability to be free. Second area is forgiving ourselves. Obviously, the key to forgiving ourselves very quickly is understanding that God forgives us. But I've run into a lot of people that just really struggle with forgiving themselves. Some reasons why we don't forgive ourselves. Number one is condemnation, guilt. Two is thinking, how could God forgive me? A lot of people think that. That's why they won't forgive themselves. Number three, live too much on their feeling side. Some people, you know, the reality is you are forgiven by God, but they don't allow themselves to live in that reality because they just feel guilty all the time. Amen? Sometimes we get to split apart our feelings. The reality is your feelings can lie. I know there's a lot out there that says, you know, just go with your heart. What feels good, do it. Or, you know, if you're feeling, you know, but there's a lot of people that live that way and it's not right. Because the Word of God can say some very, very different things to the way you feel. And because you feel this way doesn't mean that you should do that. And there are people that just feel guilt and therefore they think it's real, but sometimes your feelings lie. Bring your feelings under the captivity of God. Allow God to dictate your feelings. Another way is sometimes we've just formed a habit of just living under that guilt. We almost like it. It's the way we exist. Number five is the constant reminder, the consequences of our past mistakes. Could be a criminal record, could be a failed marriage, could be a separation from relationship. See, God does forgive God forgive you for anything, but He won't take away the consequences. Amen? We do understand that, don't we? I mean, if you go out and murder somewhere, God will forgive you instantly. Do we understand that? But He won't necessarily keep you out of jail. Amen? That's where people, I think, somehow get it messed up. You know, God's forgiven me. Everyone else should. Yeah, well, there's some consequences to what you've done that you have to live in. And that's where God can help, and there's certainly a way to move forward if you've done something wrong. We've got to trust God above our emotions. That's why the forgiveness of God is so special. It gives us the ability to forgive ourselves. To struggle when others won't forgive us. But if we've got God's forgiveness, that's where it starts. There are times where people just won't forgive you. I mean, you can put it out there, like I said, you can ask and they won't. They just won't forgive you. But you've still got to forgive yourself. And sometimes it's hard when someone else won't forgive you. But that's when we've got to get a hold of God and allow God's power to give us the strength to forgive ourselves. Amen? The other area, obviously, is to forgive others. And this is where I want to spend some time. Matthew 5:23 says, therefore, if you offer your gift on the altar, if you offer your gift on the altar, and there remember that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. What is that all about? What God's saying is that if there is an offense, there is something that we're not forgiving someone for circling around our lives, that we need to deal with that. God's saying, I don't want your gift. I don't want your talent. I don't want your ability. I don't want your resource over you forgiving others. Wow. Think about that. We can think, oh, I won't forgive that person. I won't live in forgiveness. I'll just make myself busy. Well, God's saying, don't do that. God's saying, forgive. Get to that place first. God's saying you can't just cover it over. And he's not just saying it because he wants us to do it. He's saying it because it brings value to our lives. Brings value. It's something that we've got to do. We have to forgive others. What if they don't want to reconcile? Well, we can only do what we can do from our perspective. God's got to do the rest. Being offended. For me, what I've seen, the easiest way to be offended is just be in a church. Sadly, because people seem to forget that a church is like a community. It's like a family. And I don't know, I've got good kids. I've got Madeline, I've got Annalise, and I've got Aiden. But they would have a disagreement at least one a week. Maybe one a day. Maybe one an hour. Amen? Just over whatever, the remote control or room, you know. Annalise occasionally goes into Madeline's room when she's not supposed to, which every child does. And it's just constant, you know what I mean? And there's a spack and 10 minutes later, you know, they're doing something together and hanging out together and it's all over. Why? Because they live in proximity. They live in a community. There is a lot of opportunity for offense. Amen? And in the church, it's the same. We live in proximity. You know, we form a community. We know each other and we get to know each other. And as we let down our guard, we give each other the opportunity to be offended. And I encourage you in the church, it's just not to live in that place. Live with a spirit of forgiveness. Don't just get riled up over everything. Amen? Matthew 11:6 says, and blessed is he whoever shall not be offended in me. Man, we need it. We need people to live in a place of strength. There are two ways that offenses come: when someone does something to you directly and when you carry someone else's offense. And in the church that happens. You're not the one that got offended, but you're getting offended on behalf of someone else who got offended and you're carrying their offense. That's called like a big group of people. And why are you so riled up? Did they do something to you? No, they did something to sister so-and-so. How dare they? So you join a big group of offended people. And sadly, you know, I mean, not sadly, very well done in our church. We haven't lived with a lot of it. We've only had little bits and pieces where someone's got offended or what have you, which is actually quite good. I don't know how that is the case. I think we're just being blessed of God and you guys are incredible. So before you think Andrew's talking out of some situations that are going on, I'm not. I'm just talking about forgiveness. And when you talk about forgiveness, you talk about being offended because that's normal. But I just pray that you stand in a place where you understand that there is an opportunity. Whenever you get involved in anything that's worthwhile, there's an opportunity to be offended. If you go to work and you work with a bunch of people and you work in a team, you'll get offended. Has anyone been offended by anyone in their workplace? Raise your hand. It's just the boss will say something. Someone will be too direct. Someone will use your cup in the cafeteria. I don't know. Someone sat on your seat. Someone stole your stapler. Someone stapled a piece of paper to your head. I don't know. Someone put you in the photocopy and photocopied you. This is some things that I did. Man. So many reasons to be offended. So what do you do when you're offended? Don't curse it. Learn to minister in the opposite spirit. Bless people. Be the big person straight away. Someone comes to you with an offense, stop it there. Seize it before it spreads. Maybe it's not your offense. Someone talks about their offense. Seize it and go, hey, wow, you know, we don't know why that person said or did that thing in that moment, but you know what? You're a bigger person than that. Don't get offended. They might have had a really bad day. Give them some grace. Come on, let's move on from here. Amen? It's amazing how many people get completely bent out of shape over such ridiculous things. You know, for me, I notice, especially when you take a child into a school for the first time, and everyone knows in the playground, kids can be kids. Kids hit each other, say nasty things. They do direct things all the time. And the worst I've seen is when these parents wade into that world. They come in with their adult emotions into a kid's playground where you've got five-year-old kids and someone kids stole some other kid's truck or something, and they'll sort it out normally. They'll whack each other and one will cry. It'll be over it in 5 minutes, and then by the end of that end of lunchtime, they're playing together happily. But I've seen parents wade in. He was hit. He was abused. He was bashed. He was violently attacked by your child. How dare your child? You know, they're putting it into some adult world. Because let's face it, if you have a punch up with an adult or someone says something nasty, it's pretty high end. But in the playground, it just happens, right? I'm not talking about bullying. I'm talking about a small little spack over a bit of sand in the sandbox. And I see parents wade into it, and I'm like, oh, don't go there. This is a kid's world. And you see parents get, oh, that's it, that person. Get them, remove them from the school. They're evil. Madeline won't like being told this, but she was a biter in church creche. She bit. For about 3 weeks, she bit anything. And I had parents coming because I was the pastor, and your daughter bites. Oh, yeah, she's vicious. Look at her. She's vicious. She was a biter for about 3 weeks and got over it. I don't know if she was teething or something or just like the taste of flesh. I'm not sure. She bit. She got over it. She hasn't bitten for at least a week now. She's been good. Sorry, Maddie. You know, it's crazy, isn't it? And I had parents coming to me saying, you've got something really, you have to get her to see someone. I'm like, she's a biter. It'll go in a week. We're trying to do everything we can. And sure enough, she never went back to it, as far as I know. Forgiveness is something that we need to walk in, not be offended. Lastly, why does your unforgiveness hurt you more than the person you haven't forgiven? Matthew 18 is a story about the kingdom of God. There's a man that, a king, a ruler, who forgives the servant. We know the story. And then the servant begs and pleads. The king forgives him. And then the servant goes home, and someone under him, a debtor, comes to him. And the servant doesn't forgive the debtor. Is harsh with him and repels him and says, you're going to pay your debt with your family, your life. The king finds out about it and does the same with the servant. That passage is talking about the grace of God and how forgiveness is such a key, because in the last part of that, God says he pushes that wicked servant, he pushes him to a place. He said, you will be tormented. And really, that's what it is. When you live in unforgiveness, you will live in torment. And torment comes in various degrees. It's not some sort of just a tortured thing. Torment can be your mind going around and around circles, trying to work out what you did wrong and how that person hurt you and how they offended you and how they destroyed your life, and people living in that place, living under the emotion of unforgiveness the whole time, not being able to forgive those around them, feeling tense and anxiety all the time, feeling anger and hatred, having bursts of anger and hatred, living in a place on edge because they're living in unforgiveness. The medical world says you cannot live there. You can't live there. You can't live in that constant state of unforgiveness. It will eat you from the inside out. God tells you to give forgiveness for yourself, for your own sake. No matter what's been done to you, and you say, you don't understand, Pastor, what's been done to me is absolutely horrific. What I'm saying to you, it's not a matter of what even's been done to you. It's not to the degree. It's for the sake of you being set free on the inside. If you live with that unforgiveness, it will torment you. It will cause grief. It'll bring you into a place of torment, no matter what it is. And I'm not belittling what's happened to you. I'm just telling you the facts, what the Word of God says, what will happen to you on the inside. Your life will begin to repel others because you'll live in a place of torment. You'll become a bitter person. You'll become an angry person. You'll become an unforgiving person, as a non-generous person. They repel people. You ever come across someone who's racked by unforgiveness? They are very hard to be around. Amen? They're emotionless. They've pushed themselves into a corner. They've built walls and they've separated themselves. God doesn't want you to be in that place. Let me just clarify, when the Word of God actually tells us we've got no right but to forgive. The Word of God doesn't tell you that you should trust someone automatically. I tell a lot of people, a lot of situations, a lot of relationships, when someone has done something, or you know, there's been an affair or an offense in a relationship, I've said to those people, I said, look, know the difference. As a believer, you have to forgive because Christ forgave you. And you need to bring yourself to that place. It'll set you free and it'll begin the process of setting that other person free. But I said, you don't have to trust. Trust is something that's earned. That can take years to get back. Amen? You can be wise about that. You can put conditions on that. But forgiveness, God is saying you don't have a right. He's not saying it just to be hard on you. He's saying it for your sake because he knows what it'll do in your life. Amen? Do you know when you're free? You're free when you think of the past, when you think of that person, when you think of that situation, and it no longer bothers you. Has no power over your life. If you can think of something right now, if you can think of someone that's hurt you and you immediately just feel emotion and you feel overcome, then friend, you haven't let that thing go. You haven't let that situation go. When there's no more pain, you're walking in unforgiveness. You're walking in forgiveness, sorry. We need to let forgiveness be a habit, a lifestyle, and a spirit. We need to be good at ducking it, ducking offense, and just repelling it. To forgive is the highest, most beautiful form of love. In return, you will receive untold peace and happiness. A guy called Lewis B., I'll finish with this, said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free. Listen to this. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. Amen? That's the wisdom of God. The world says, don't forgive him. God says, set yourself free by forgiving. Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet?